All right, welcome to episode 2 of The Crossover Cellist. I'm your host, Louis Patzner. I play the cello, and but for this podcast, what I do is I don't play the cello. I interview my friends and colleagues about our various musical projects. And right now I have Jeremy Lyon in the house.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Jeremy Lyon, you might know from his current project, King Dream. You might have seen him on tour with Whisker Man in the past months. You maybe remember his old band, Tumbleweed Wanderers. And it's a pleasure having you here. So
thanks for having me on the show.
Now, we can't talk about all of our musical collaborations. So, for example, we played a gig last night.
Yeah.
Which was cool, but we can't really talk about it. Sorry, guys.
It's a secret gig.
It's a secret gig.
We're part of some secret societies.
Yeah, and before we talk about the new album and the shows and stuff, just want to give a quick shout-out to Michelle Schmidt.
Yeah.
Who is an awesome lady that has a band that Jeremy and I both play in. So,
along with your brothers.
Exactly.
I get to play with all three Patzners.
Yeah, we got Papa Bear in there.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of a family band.
It's pretty fun. So, but those shows aren't for a while, so we're not going to really talk about that. But shout out to Michelle Schmidt. All right. So, first, Jeremy, you're a Bay Area native, right? Where'd you grow up?
In Oakland, mostly in Glenview.
Oh, yeah, right. We talked about this yesterday. But,
yeah. I spent some time in Alameda as well, and through the Caldecott Tunnel, San Francisco, kind of all over. Mostly East Bay, though.
Right. And when did you start your first band?
I had a band in middle school called Allison Device, with a Z. And I started that band with actually Ian McCardle, who's a Bay Area native.
Oh, cool.
That was our middle school band. He's a jazz pianist.
Yeah. And so that was a ska band?
A lot as well. We were actually not a ska band. We didn't have enough people to be a ska band. We were like a very much rock band. He played drums in that.
Yeah.
And I think our bass player quit, and we never replaced him, I think. But all of our songs were in the key of E, which is a good rock and
roll
key.
The best rock key, yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of actually just had one long medley, as I recall. We had like...
Just all in the same key.
It was like all the songs in the same key, and we're like, what if we made them a medley?
Yeah. And?
Yeah. And it was sick.
I wish I heard it. Did you make any albums?
We have an EP. We did like... You know, I had like an M-Box, and we made an EP in Ian's parents' living room.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was tight. There's very few copies of that one out there. That never made it, like, on the internet. That was just, like, burned copies.
Yeah, right. Wow. Well, I would love to hear it one day. It's fun.
I'll
I like
it up, yeah.
I like listening to Graham's old ska band from high school.
Oh, yeah, he showed me a video of that band, like, for my music cast.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. It's fun. It's fun stuff.
I'm trying to convince him to play trumpet on Hand in Hand, and then you can play trombone on it for next Friday. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so
he hasn't played trumpet since he laid it down on the record.
Yeah. So, in case you guys don't know, like, I also play trombone. But I rarely do it these days, but I did play trombone and cello on Jeremy's record, the King Dream record. So maybe we should talk about the record.
Sure.
I mean,
this is the record, the album promo tour for me right here. I'm doing
exactly.
Radio.
Right.
Podcasts.
Yeah.
This week. Yeah.
Right. He's booked solid. It was like a miracle that he was able to come in today. Yeah. You know, between interviews and photo
Very
shoots.
In demand. Yeah.
And, you know, just online Q&A chat sessions with people. You know, it's a lot. So, okay. So the album comes out next Friday, right?
Yeah.
It's King Dream self-titled?
Self-titled.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. And, you guys, you're doing a release show as well on Friday, right?
Yeah, that's at the Independent with Kendra McKinley.
Oh, she's so cool.
She's awesome. Yeah, I had the pleasure of subbing in for her brother AJ for her show at the Fillmore.
Oh, yeah. in her band.
Yeah, so I got to learn her tunes. They're amazing. That band is so fun, too.
Yeah, she's like a real crafty songwriter, you know?
Yeah.
And just a born performer.
Yeah, and like amazing. Her looping's amazing. Incredible keys player and guitar. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember she played at the Crepe Place on a Judgment Day show. Just solo, and it was so good, you know?
Yeah. No, the solo set's amazing. The full band, too. It's just got harmonies and choreography, which...
Oh, so you haven't seen
that? Yeah, yeah, my friend Brittany sings with her, and Sharon as well, and they have choreography for the whole set.
Cool.
Which I don't know anyone else who does that. It sets it apart.
I heard Beyonce does that. I heard, you know... Ariana Grande.
I don't know any rock
local rock bands. It's true. Actually, you know, like some chamber musician people do it.
Oh, really?
They're like new music chamber musicians. Uh-huh. And people in some groups that I've played with have suggested doing it and be like, yeah, it sounds great. So you guys walk around in circles or whatever. I'll sit in a chair and play cello because that's what I kind of have to do.
Yeah, yeah, you're not very mobile. But you don't have a cello strap? You haven't?
Oh, well. I've never done the strap thing. I played standing up a lot, but I sort of don't. I sort of don't do that anymore. I only do that if I'm playing metal or if I'm like, you know.
Right. I've only seen like Rashad Eggleston. Like,
yeah, Rashad. Oh my God, what a shredder!
He's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, he does it, and he needs to have a strap because he's like hanging upside down and playing.
He goes everywhere. Yeah.
And my thing was kind of more just headbanging.
Yeah.
Which now I'm too bald to headbang. But you're whatever.
Never too bald to headbang.
I think there's another dude, Andres Vera, who plays in a group called Quartet San Francisco, who plays standing up with a strap. I never felt, even when I was playing standing up, I never felt like I was like executing as well as I could. So even all that Judgment Day stuff, I would play in the studio sitting down, you know, just to get the take.
Yeah. You guys were rad. I saw you guys at play with Panda, or maybe they were.
Oh yeah, at that point, DC Balloon.
Yeah,
was that at the Fillmore?
No, I wish I'd been at that one. It was at the Metro after the Metro had moved, and they show where they had like a bouncy castle, and they had all this inflatable stuff in there because it was kind of like they moved to a big spot. But that show was rad.
yeah, that's
it. Blew my mind.
The space is cool. I saw a burlesque show there.
Nice.
Actually, Ariel played a burlesque show there, like, not too long ago. It was, like, a Game of Thrones burlesque show.
Ooh.
So they're still doing stuff. I think they do a lot of metal shows.
I finally watched Game of Thrones, like, at the beginning of this year. That was on the last Whisker Man tour. I was watching them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. New podcast segment. TV reviews. All right. Game of Thrones. Your opinion.
Oh, I love it. I watched every episode in like a month.
Shocker.
That was all I did, yeah. I sat it out for like 7 years, and then I just binged it all.
Wow. And it's not done yet.
I know.
We got the ultimate Game of Thrones season coming up.
Yeah.
Well, I watch Game of Thrones. I enjoy it enough to keep watching, at least, you know.
Yeah. Whenever Daenerys walks out of the fire with the dragons. It's a good... We've done it two or three times.
Those are moments not to be missed. Okay, wait. So let's get back on
track. No, the album. That's why I'm here.
Okay, end of TV segment. So you cut an album. Mostly at Bird and Egg Studios, right?
Yeah. Yeah, with Nino.
That's in Richmond. Nino, one of my favorite people to work with. Mm-hmm. And it's a great studio. And I think he rents that studio out to, like, whoever engineer wants to use it to, or producer.
I know he's got at least one in-house engineer besides him.
I did a session with Shayna, who's on the podcast last episode. And it was at Bird and Egg, but Nino wasn't there. And it was just some dude using the space, so...
That's great.
If you need a studio, hit him up. Yeah. Bird and Egg. I have not heard the final product of the album, but playing on a few songs. Two songs?
Yeah, you're on... I think you're actually... You're on... you play trombone on Hand in Hand, and then on the closer, All the President Has a Dad, you play trombone and cello.
And yeah, we tracked that in San Francisco, right?
As well. I think... did we get the trombone? We might have had, I think the trombone, yeah, you came in to Hyde Street to do that.
Yeah, Hyde Street Studios, legendary recording studio in San Francisco. Like, the same room that CCR recorded.
Yeah, yeah, that specific one.
Or a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and American Beauty, Grateful Dead, and some damn stuff.
Yeah, the album, how many tracks is it?
It's 11. There's like a theme and an interlude, or a reprise of the theme, I should say.
I see.
So I guess kind of 9 full songs, and then those kind of 2 short ones.
Well, that's cool. That's still full length.
Yeah. It's full.
That qualifies.
It's full. It just squeezes onto the vinyl.
Nice. Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but my brother Graham helped you produce the album, right?
Yeah. Oh, he was hugely instrumental. Yeah, he co-produced it. He played tons of instruments on it. I mean, he played trumpet, violin, keys, guitar. He helped me pick out the songs on the record. That was kind of how the whole thing came about. Was actually, I guess we were playing with Papa Bear, and then I was hanging out with him on New Year's with you and him, and Anton was there too at one point at a New Year's party. And then at the end of the party, after everyone went home, we made a pact to make the record.
Dope.
Yeah. And it happened. It actually happened. Like, we started tracking 2 months after that. It was pretty quick. Yeah. He came over. I played him all the songs they had. He, like, helped pick out the songs for the record.
Wow.
And rehearsed it with the band and then went into the studio and laid it down.
Yeah. So I take it back. I have heard some final products of, because remember we were at that campfire and kind of sharing our in progress albums. That was a cool,
that was a cool hang. Show and tell.
Yeah, and when I heard, you know, it's like as real of an album as is out there. You know, it's got instruments, it's got the singing, it's got the lyrics.
Yeah,
you know, everything sounds really good. It's got the drums, and
it's filled to the brim.
I like the songwriting. It's Thanks, cool, man. You know, it's interesting, but I'm looking forward to hearing the whole album, you know what I'm saying?
I need to give you I wish I had the CDs yet. Everything's coming in, like, the day before the release show.
Yeah, all right. Right, oh, that's just how
it is. But I remember when I got the final masters, I, like, made a Google Drive and I sent it to everyone that had, like, been on it.
Yeah.
And no one responded. So maybe I never actually sent it, because I've been like, did whatever happened to the final version? Like, no one heard the final version. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure.
Am I at fault in that category?
I think so, but it seems like you're
my
not,
bad, it's
clearly everyone, like, it's probably me, because no one, like, got the final master.
Well, it's just like, sometimes those emails kind of look anonymous.
Yeah, I think I just shared the Google Drive, and maybe you need to write a more personal email with a link in the email.
Or just be like, check your email, like, I sent you the album.
Yeah.
So maybe I should check it. Maybe the link's expired.
It's that probably expired. That happens to me. It was like 6 months ago.
Okay, well, cripes. Hey, so this is how the music scene kind of works. It works very dysfunctionally sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you do a thing and then you're like, hey, did that ever come out?
Yeah, that happens. But I'm it's inspiring, you know, to see things moving relatively fast, you know, making the album, doing the promo. You made some videos, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
I do have a YouTube channel. Yeah, it's just King Dream Music.
Yeah.
All the links are like just / King Dream Music.
Yeah, I checked some of those out. They're great. I haven't seen the ones that you did at 25th Street yet. Are those up?
One of them is. So there's a full band one that's up for a song called Patriot.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, that one was super fun. And then there's a couple ones. I went in during the afternoon, just did a couple solo songs. And those aren't out yet.
Right. Well, we have to
but
wait.
Jamie is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, Jamie Turner.
Mm-hmm. And his project, which you play in.
Yeah, Here and Soon.
Yeah.
We're actually going to play tonight at Cafe Trieste. Last minute booking.
Oh, whoa.
But this is going to come out after that, so tough luck, guys. Can't catch them all, you know?
Yeah.
Jamie's a really talented, multidisciplinary artist, and he does great video work, but he also is an annoyingly successful songwriter. and a good summer. I like the music.
Yeah, his music's good.
I wouldn't be doing the project otherwise.
I'd seen like a music video of his. It was kind of like black and white,
and it had like oil and stuff.
A lot of oil. Yeah,
I remember he showed me that, and I thought it was like an old song because I went and tracked on the record, and then he sent it to me, and of course I didn't listen to it. and then later on I found out that video he like made it super quick, like right after tracking the song.
And
I felt embarrassed. Anyway,
that was a great video. That was like how I'd first heard of him, and then like I didn't hear about him again for a few years, and then kind of connected with him in 25th Street. Or I would run into him, and
yeah, he's like always hanging out there.
Yeah. And I'd run into, I guess, John.
Right? Yeah, John Schimpf. Yeah. And Gabe is there a lot. Mm-hmm. Scott. So 25th Street Studios is in Oakland, and it's a fantastic recording studio. It's relatively new.
Yeah.
But it's really great, and, you know, the top of the line, right?
Yeah, I'd say a state-of-the-art.
And part of the thing is they have, like, people just kind of hanging out there that can, like, make things happen. So like, you know, if you want to do a video, well, hey, Jamie's right there, he's got all the equipment, like you can talk to him right there. Yeah. While you're at the session, or, you know. Yeah. So I don't know, I recommend checking that out too.
Definitely.
Bird and Egg Studios, 25th Street Studios, both mm-hmm. great studios.
Yeah.
So okay, I feel like we should touch on the show again. So it's Friday the 24th of August.
Mm-hmm.
At
the Independent.
The Independent. That's a pretty classic venue at this point in San Francisco. Yeah.
Tumbleweed, my old band, we did our last album release show there 3 years ago. So
yeah.
This was kind of the biggest venue that I could get a gig at, and I was like, alright, I'm just gonna shoot big and then try to, you know,
well,
hype it up and see if we can kind of fill it.
But. Yeah, great. Well, hopefully this helps, you know. I don't know if anyone cares about my podcast. But I think you have to do, like, 100 episodes before, really, you can expect anyone to care or something.
Yeah,
like
well,
that.
It was, I mean, Maren's on, like, 800 or something, right?
Yeah, right. But he's...
And he was already famous when he started
the podcast, right.
And it took some time.
And then how many episodes did it take for him to interview Obama?
Right. 600 or 700.
Yeah, so... Got a ways to go.
You,
before I can...
Obama's not president anymore, so you might, you know, maybe you can...
Yeah, but, does that, you know, he's Grammy Award winner. So
oh, he's got a
those
Grammy.
Those guys are hard to get.
Oh.
So, yeah, and I guess ex-president's also hard to get.
It's true.
So, okay, so it's you... Or, sorry, King Dream headlining, Independent, and then
it's a co-bill, yeah. Kendra's actually, she's headlining and we're co-headlining.
Oh, that is very nice.
Because, yeah.
It's nice
she's
of her and nice for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. She's, you know, she's her project's been established for a while.
That's true.
So I saw her album release there a couple of years ago with Royal Jelly, actually.
And so is it just that's you two awesome. Guys?
And then Andrew St. James is opening. I don't know if you know Andrew. He's like 23 and he's put out three records
know.
Already.
23-year-olds? No.
He's killer. Thing. He's an old soul. He's
cool.
He's
well,
put out a few records already and like I think has another two or three phases. He's like one of the most prolific songwriters I know. Like he just wakes up and writes songs every day.
Right. So get there on time to see Andrew St. James.
Yeah. And also the one other thing I have to mention is Debbie, who plays keys in my band. She's actually is playing. And she has her own project, Lapel, which I
play. It's not Debonairian.
Debbie Nair, yeah.
But
her musical project now is called Lapel.
I see.
Yeah,
fantastic.
She's changed. And she's playing keys in all three bands.
She's
going for the triple crown.
best of luck, Debbie.
Yeah,
I play with Debbie at one of these secret gigs.
Oh,
like, that we mm-hmm. just did, and it was great. We did like some duo stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
And. Yeah, I mean,
you'd be
play.
A good duo. I had a rough solo. I don't know. I don't play a lot of instrumental solo guitar, classy music. You know.
Yeah, I heard the clientele kind of like talking about it. Like, I didn't seem very confident.
It's a panel. It's like a high school jazz panel. We got two goods, one excellent, but
right.
No superiors.
No, actually, well, obviously I didn't hear anything, because at these kind of gigs, you don't really talk to the clients very much.
Yeah.
But I will say that Jeremy Lyon can sing a mean Great Balls of Fire. And I know, because I was right there. All right, so we said get there on time to see Andrew St. James on Friday. So what time is that?
Doors are at 8:30, show starts at 9.
All right, fantastic.
And also, another plug.
Yeah.
If I can hype up the show.
No, that's why this podcast exists.
Yeah. If you're tired of, like, Instagramming.
Yeah, I probably should do more, but I'm already tired of it.
No, it's, yeah.
Sorry, you're plugging.
So there's, I have Mad Alchemy, Lance from Mad Alchemy is going to do a Liquid Light show there.
Oh, sick.
So it's going to be psychedelic projections. He was, I was playing at Hickey Fest this year, which is with Ash Rider from Sugar Candy Mountain.
Yeah, right.
Festival. And Leggett, and Lance and Mad Alchemy do projections at night for that, and we were playing early during the day, we didn't have any projections when we played, but he liked the band, so I talked to him, and he's gonna do a whole projection, and then we're actually having two drummers, because Nick Cobbett, who used to play in
Whisper, oh yeah!
And then Cody Rhodes, who played on the record, he moved away for a few months.
He's back.
He plays with Kelly McFarling, who's
awesome. Oh, yeah.
And then he plays in King Dream, too, sometimes. Him and Cody kind of...
Great, yeah, because he was playing with Tumbleweed
on their schedules.
Back in
yeah,
the day.
He did the second album
right.
release tour.
Yeah, yeah.
He's awesome. So
that's
he's,
great, I love
yeah,
that.
So we're going to have two drums. He's kind of like the pocket drummer. And then Cody picked up, like, we got a bunch of samples off the record. And so we're getting some of the kind of, like, more of the production elements.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hey, it's in my calendar. I got off the phone with Ariel earlier. She wants to go. So, hey, two people.
Two. Yes.
Great. Okay, before we wrap up, I just want to know, do you have any embarrassing stories about Graham from the most recent Whisker Man tour?
Oh, from the most recent one. I mean, he's got a solid catchphrase of time to go.
Graham loves to kind of like boss people around sometimes.
He was,
and that is a bossy thing to say to people, you know? Time to go.
Yeah. The previous tour, it's good, because we also move pretty slow, so
you
kind of need someone to get things going.
On tour, it can be brutal, you know, people taking forever.
Yeah. I'd say also one thing, if you've talked to Graham enough, you'll know that he's a huge Mission Impossible fan.
Oh, yeah.
And,
Well, we saw Mission Impossible 5 together.
Oh, yeah.
In theaters last time, but he was on tour. But we talked about it, like...
I was in the car, and he was talking to you about we saw Mission Impossible 6 in Ashland, and it's actually really good.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, yeah. And so, kind of, actually, after we saw that movie, we realized, one, that Tom Cruise is a national treasure. He might be a little weird, but, I mean...
He is weird.
He does all his own stunts.
He is a dedicated filmmaker. And
yeah.
I appreciate the passion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no one can match his energy level and intensity on
it's
screen.
It's
and
true.
Probably off screen.
Well, but what about Nick Cage?
we saw Ghost Rider.
Yeah, Ghost Rider. That's intensity.
Not as good.
Not as good as the new Mission
Impossible.
I think
Tom Cruise would definitely kick Nicolas Cage's ass.
Well, there's a 2.5 interview with the director of the new Mission Impossible on the Empire Film Podcast.
Oh, really?
Which I recommend.
Okay.
I listened to the whole thing.
Wow.
And the thing about the behind-the-scenes material for all Tom Cruise's movies is that... I have a theory. It all exists to brainwash you into loving Tom Cruise. And, like, it happened to me first when I watched all the special features to Mission Impossible 2, which came out in high school for me, you know, and it had, in my mind, back then, great action sequences directed by John Woo. And,
oh, yeah.
Anyway, I watched all the special features.
That was
features.
The one with Thandi Newton, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that one. That was great.
I like
She's
it.
She's awesome.
It's sort of the She's weirdest one now.
Westworld.
Oh, yeah.
I should watch it again. I mean, I haven't seen it, I think, since it came out. I think that's when I stopped watching them, too.
Yeah, I think it doesn't hold up quite as well as the other ones. But you know what? Now I love Tom Cruise. That's yeah. But I feel like, as if I've been brainwashed. So I kind of take everything with a little bit of grain of salt and try not to, like, get too head over heels. Like, I like the new Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
But did I think it was the best Mission Impossible? I don't know. I thought, you know, it's...
Okay, I'm saying the third one is the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman as the villain, right?
That one's really good, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of need to watch 3, 4, and 5. But, like, I was talking to Caitlin, my girl, and, you know, she's like, oh, like, you saw 6, like, would you see it again? I'm like, no, like, I can't. It would ruin it if I saw it again, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
It might be, like, just a once.
I think if you watch... What I like
fall
about...
asleep during most movies.
Oh, yeah. What I like about the new one is it kind of, like, harkens back to each of the other old ones. So if you did watch the other ones, you might feel like you wanted to see the new one again. Be like, oh, now I understand this character a little bit better.
Okay.
Okay. Did you... This is... yeah. Anything else you want to say about Mission Impossible? And Tom Cruise?
It's just... I mean, the rest of the tour kind of felt very much like... very similar to being Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. we kind of felt like everything we were doing was really high octane and
just making it up as you go.
We were figuring it out, you know.
Right.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
As the time was running out. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Successful tour?
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
That's all we can ask for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want the best.
We met a guy named Yaman in Eugene.
White guy with dreads?
He's an old white guy. Doesn't have dreads.
Okay.
But definitely white. But he starts and stops... Like, he begins and ends every sentence with Yaman. And he also carves his own guitars with... he had a lion guitar. And my last name is Lion.
Yeah, right.
And it sounded awesome. It was totally, like, channeling the spirit of Jerry in that guitar. You know, he just carves these out of wood. And he has violins, too.
Oh, cool. Did Grant play any?
He didn't bring any with him, but, like, we kept trying to stop by Yaman's house, but it didn't work out.
Where's he located?
Like, outside of Eugene. He's, like, 20 minutes outside
of Eugene. That's far enough.
We saw Sam, you know, Sam Adato. Used to have a drum shop here. Sam Adato used to have a drum shop in San Francisco.
I don't know all the ins and outs of the local drum shops, unfortunately.
Well, Sam is... one of the most rock and roll guys out there to this day.
Sweet.
He showed us his band, yeah, which is Fireball Sunset.
Wow.
And they rock.
With a name like that, you have to.
Yeah.
Okay, well, fantastic. So, hey, I think that's it for the podcast. Any questions?
No, I don't think I have...
I don't think it's your job to ask
questions. Yeah, you ask the questions.
Exactly.
I do want to say you played great on the album, too, and it was awesome getting to
finally
watch you and your brother work together.
Fun, and, you know, like...
Because you figure it... I mean, you guys just figure it out as you went along super quick, because he'd just kind of, like, go in and then lay down the line he was thinking, and you'd harmonize that, like, on the spot.
Yeah, I have to say, it's like, I feel so lucky to be able to... be in a music scene where I can play music with my friends, you know, play on their stuff and have my friends play on my stuff, and it's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
It's awesome. We can kind of make it all happen here. The whole record, I guess, from start to, like, production was all with local musicians and local
companies, producers and everything,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it felt good to kind of, and even, like, you know, help writing the bio.
Yeah.
Emma Silver said that, and Jonathan Kirchner mastered it. You know, kind of just the whole
start
to finish.
Great.
Kept it all pretty local, which felt good to kind of
and
do,
you know,
it that way.
Not every area, even like metropolitan areas, have those resources.
Yeah.
So it's a cool thing we got going in the Bay Area here. So we're going to listen to a song now?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That you're going to send me?
I'm going to send
put
it
to
you.
In there?
We're going to listen to All the President Has Endowed. That's the last song on the album.
Okay,
which
sweet.
Features Lewis on cello
fantastic.
And on trombone.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Cool. So, hope you guys enjoy it. And remember, it's not celloist, it's cellist.